It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hot, hot, hike!
Welcome back to another episode of Making Monsters. We are pretty deep into this offseason now, but not deep enough to get rid of all of the Justin Fields trade talk. I know I'm probably not alone in this, but it has become so aggressively annoying at this point. And I'm trying to hold my tongue when I'm on Twitter because I know there's no point. The people that believe what they believe are going to. There's guys out there and women just saying things to get clicks, and I get that, but when I see tweets about someone comparing how Bears fans feel right now with Justin Fields to how Bears fans felt with Mitchell Trubisky after the 2018 season, it just infuriates me because the situations are completely different. And it, when you look at the way that fans were with Mitchell Trubisky, and look, I'll tell you, I was one of the ones defending him in the sense of just getting rid of him and starting over, and he was never going to be good. I was like, okay, let's give this guy a chance, you know, like that first year was just absolutely hot mess. Then we get to that next year and we have a great year in 2018, but we all knew how much that was on the defense. And if you watched any Bears game that season, you knew the defense got them to the playoffs. Bottom line, there was nothing. Mitchell did enough, didn't mess up a ton, did enough to just get them there. But we left that 2018 season winning the NFC North, winning 12 football games. And still, after that, people were still like, ugh, is he the guy? I don't know. The Jaguars just did this and they signed Blake Bortles and look how that turned out. He's not the guy. And that was the feelings then. There was hope. There was hope that Mitch would take a next step and that Mitch could be the guy. But there was nobody, or at least very minimal people out there, saying that Mitchell Trubisky was the franchise quarterback for the Chicago Bears and he was going to be the quarterback for the next 10 years, the quarterback that we wanted, the quarterback we've been waiting for. Now we look at where we are with the Bears. We just won 3 football games. We have the number 1 overall pick in the draft. We had almost no offense whatsoever outside the run game this last season. Yet somehow we are saying Justin Fields is our quarterback. Justin Fields is our franchise quarterback. Build around Justin Fields. So you comparing Eric Eager on PFF, the two situations are so completely miles and miles and miles and miles apart of how feelings. It's just funny. I guess people want to tell us how we were feeling in 2018, and especially Vikings fans. You guys should know, if anything, what like the hopefulness of the complacentness feels like over actually being confident in a guy. So anyways, that's my quick rant on that. I just think that I cannot wait until we get to the point where this trade is just made. And it's out there and it's known that, okay, they're keeping Justin Fields. They've already traded their number 1 pick with the Colts or whoever it may be. And so you know at that point what's happening. Once that happens, obviously those trade talks go away. And then you're focusing in on, okay, now what do they do with that number 4 pick, that 7 pick, that 9 pick, whatever they end up getting, plus the extra compensation that they'll also get out of trading down. But anyways, this podcast is just me today, but I am being joined by Nicholas Moriano. He is the beat reporter for the Bears for CHGO. CHGO puts out a lot of great content. Nicholas was just at the Senior Bowl. He was at the Super Bowl. He's about to go to the Combine. So he is all hands on when it comes to the offseason right now. So I just really kind of wanted to get his perspective on some of the hot topics, some of the players that we can expect to stay or who's going to leave, some of the realistic free agents we could possibly get, because obviously there's ones out there that We want Orlando Brown. We want Daron Payne. Those seem like they're already going to be franchise tagged, so that is not going to happen. But There are other options. There's plenty of names on this list. There, we have plenty of holes to fill. So it's not like taking a couple like big name guys off of our list is obviously drastically changing. I do see the Bears possibly making like one big splash surprise move. But I don't know which direction they're going to go in that. I really do hope they like hone in on the trenches, because both sides of that need help. And I just think that a massive improvement on both sides of that would take this team from 3 wins to 8 wins. And then so if you can do even more beyond that, that could possibly turn into something else. But anyways, let's go ahead and jump to this interview with Nicholas Moriano. All right, now we are joined by Nicholas Moriano. He's the Bears beat reporter for CHGO Bears. So thank you, Nicholas, for jumping on. I know you've had a very busy last couple months with everything, with obviously playoff football, not the Bears, but when you cover football, you cover football. And then you were at the Senior Bowl, you had the Super Bowl. So let's start with that. Let's talk a little bit about you traveling to all of those places and dealing with that Senior Bowl. Let's start with that one. What did you see? Did you see anybody who really popped out at the Senior Bowl that you liked?
Yeah, in the Senior Bowl, I mean, each day there was a different candidate for the rising star of the day. But if you look at just like in the trenches, especially the offensive lineman, Cody Mouse from North Dakota State was a consistent winner in his one-on-one. You could tell from him, too, he's always got the belly hanging out. He's missing his two front teeth, so he's pretty easy to spot, especially when he's making a good block in the one-on-one. A guy, Keon White from Georgia Tech, is another guy that I think, if you're looking at the Bears' perspective and some of the players they'd be interested in, Keon White would definitely be a guy. He has so much speed off the edge and was another consistent guy. But for me, I think every year that I've gone to the Senior Bowl, I always tend to gravitate towards the wide receivers and DBs. So when I'm looking at some of these wide receivers, like Nathaniel Tank Dell from Houston, smaller, about 5'8", 160 pounds, but creating separation like no other. You got guys like Michael Wilson from Stanford, who I didn't know much about, but really had a good couple of practices there in Mobile, Alabama. Jaden Reed from Michigan State, got a chance to talk to him after one of the practices. He's a big Justin Fields fan. I think that already works in his favor, but a lot of wide receivers were standing out. And it's a drill, one-on-ones is supposed to go to the wide receiver, but just how you can do it, I think, can also impress not only myself, but, you know, obviously the teams that were down there looking for players to help out their football team.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because obviously I've talked to several people as I'm doing just kind of the strictly draft talk, and a lot of them are saying that the wide receiver group as a whole isn't, it kind of has a strong top 2-3, and then there's a little bit of a drop, but you can probably find some of that later talent. And I saw a graphic pop up today, and it had the 2021 wide receivers that have the most yards since, and it was the obvious with Waddle and Jamar Chase, but Amon-Ra was on that, and they got him in the fourth round. And I was like, see, you can find these guys that really can change your team later in the round. You just have to be able to spot that in the combine and in the Senior Bowl. But what about the Super Bowl? Because I think you said that was your first time going and covering the Super Bowl there.
Yeah, it was my first time. So I thought I had an idea of what that experience would be like with Media Row and just everything that kind of goes into covering the Super Bowl. But a lot of it with CHGO, my colleagues that were there and All City Network, we were, you know, sometimes you see like a guy like Brian Urlacher just walking by. It's like, hey, Brian, can we get you on the podcast at some point? So you kind of go talk to their publicist and then, you know, try to work something out within the schedule. And it's a lot of just being on your toes. So that was really cool. We also got a chance on the first day, that Monday, to talk to Matt Nagy and see what, you know, he had to say. Obviously, a very different situation with the Chiefs and ultimately win the Super Bowl. But he got a chance to reflect and open up about his tenure with the Bears. But it seemed like it was basically 2 weeks I was in Mobile and then, you know, to the Super Bowl. It was just it was like a flash. It happened. Mm-hmm. I know it happened. I was there, but it's like there are things that get mixed up, nights that get mixed up, but really cool experience. And now, in a week, next Monday, I'll be heading down to Indianapolis to cover the NFL Scouting Combine.
Yeah, we have some people from here going up. Unfortunately, I cannot, which I wish I was, because obviously the Combine is a place where you really get to get other than even just seeing some of the guys do the drills and run their 40s and do all of that, that's where you really get to kind of get the personalities, because you talk to their coaches and they're like, yeah, they can learn the playbook quickly, or, you know, they're hard workers or they're leaders. And that's where you get kind of all of that insight. So I'm sure we'll get a lot of stuff from you guys in that aspect. And I really enjoyed actually the Nagy interviews that you guys did, because I think there's a lot of mixed feelings with Nagy also. And I've always been, Nagy's a great guy. And I think that there was a lot, I didn't love him as a play caller, but I think there was a lot of moments where I was like, man, he's a good dude. And I feel kind of bad that it went the way it did. But I think that obviously moving on, the big storyline right now, and I feel like you are possibly as annoyed as I am with all of the different Justin Fields trade scenarios and everything that's going on. A lot of it from the outside point of view, as in not Bears fans or Bears media going these routes, but talking about drafting Bryce Young and trading Justin Fields, what is your take on that?
Yeah, Taylor, it's funny because actually earlier today I was just at the gym and, you know, there's a headline, should the Bears trade Justin Fields? And one of the workers there was like, no way. And I'm like, I completely agree with you. There's no way the Bears are going to trade Justin Fields if Bryce Young's a guy. And then someone immediately walks in, looks at the screen, the headline, yeah, trade Justin Fields. So it has been such a polarizing topic depending on who you talk to. But I just don't get why you would make that move when you saw spurts of what Justin Fields is capable of. And he did that despite not having a consistent offensive line. He didn't have many guys that he can count on to make plays at the wide receiver position. And he's in a new offense with Luke Getsy for the first year. And then you have that month in November after the Commanders game where he's lighting up the league. And yes, he did a lot of the big flashy runs, but there were some definitely good passes in there. And that's, I think, the biggest question mark that I think a lot of outside media still has with Justin Fields. Can he be a consistent passer? Well, how could he ever really show you what he's capable of with a team that he had last year? So for me, I want to see Ryan Poles really commit to building this up around him. And yes, you have to start with the trenches and build up that offensive line. But for me, I think it's really important somehow, some way, Ryan Poles is able to get Justin Fields a true number one wide receiver. I'm just looking at some of the trends in the NFL for quarterbacks going into year three. A lot has helped those guys jump because they got a number one wide receiver. You look at Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott. You look at Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, and Tyreek Hill. That all happened with those quarterbacks going into year three. They all take tremendous jumps. I think the same should be said for Justin Fields, and that's why I think it's a priority for Ryan Poles, this Bears coaching staff, to really upgrade that position group. And if you do that, then I think you can silence some of these critics and these question marks and the overall question, should the Bears draft Justin or trade Justin Fields? No will be the answer.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think I want to get to the wide receivers a little bit more in a second. But you were speaking of building from the trenches, because obviously both sides of the line were just terrible this year. You can make an argument for the defensive line being the worst, and you can make an argument for the offensive line being the worst. And so we actually had on our podcast last week, we had Mike Gennetti from Spot Track. And obviously with the Bears having this much money, there's a lot of routes they could go. They could throw all the money at all of these splash players and try to do things like that. But his recommendation that he said he thinks would go the best for the Bears is what he called boring. And he said, you know, you're going to spend the majority of the money, but go get a tackle, get a guard, get a center, get some defensive tackles. And he's like, it may make some fans upset because you're not getting these like big, huge names. But when you build from the trenches, it's going to help massively. So do you see that being a route that the Bears will take?
You know, I think it's a route that a lot of teams are now continuously in the playoffs have taken. And you look at like even the Philadelphia Eagles, a lot of those contracts for some of the defensive linemen, offensive, I mean, it's not like they do have high tiered players, no doubt about it. But I think each one of these teams also had that middle tier. So when you're looking at Bears and free agent signing, like the name Yannick Ngakoue is obviously not the top end tier pass rusher, right? But could he be an up and rising young comer that could still be a productive player for the Bears? I think so, especially when you look at what the Bears didn't have at the position last year. We didn't see it consistently enough at all from Travis Gibson, who I was expecting, you know, take a jump this year. Dominique Robinson, obviously being a rookie, His best game came in the first game of the year against the San Francisco 49ers. He never had a sack after that. So I think that's when you look at some of the free agent signings, yes, I know Bears fans wanted Daron Payne. He would have been a great fit for the Bears, but that doesn't seem likely. So maybe a Draymond Jones from Denver. Obviously, again, not the top dog like Daron Payne, but that's what it's going to take because they do have the most cap space in the NFL. But there are also, as there's plenty of holes and positions that need to be upgraded on this roster as well. So you keep signing players and you're going to, in free agency, you're going to overspend, but it's going to add up eventually. So I think it's going to take a couple of those middle tier signings to fill out this roster to hopefully make them competitive in 2023.
Now, how much of that, because you mentioned Travis Gibson and Dominique Robinson. With Travis, I was super excited about coming into the season. We had kind of our list of guys we were most excited to see, you know, their jump or progression this season. And Travis was on my list because I liked the glimpses that we saw of him last year. And obviously, like you said, we didn't quite see what we wanted this year. And then Dominique Robinson being a rookie, how much of that do you think was affected by really not having anything in the interior to help them out a little bit?
No, that's definitely a big point because so much of what is going to make this defense work, Matt Eberflus, Alan Williams, is that they have that disruptive three tech. And Justin Jones was brought in as a plan B when Ogunjobi didn't work out, and he was arguably one of the better defensive players on the Bears defense, and that's a problem in itself, but he's not the disruptor. He's not going to garner the attention that you see from top end three tech. You know, what a Jalen Carter could provide for this Bears defensive line. And as the consequence to that, you didn't have to double up on Justin Jones. You could leave help to the outside then. And then Travis Gibson, he just didn't win his one-on-ones, even when he had those opportunities. And that's going to be the issue. And I know he's transitioning from, you know, 3-4 back to a 4-3. And I had talked to him a couple of times throughout the course of the year about the lack of sack production. And he always kind of told me it's not the end all be all for sacks. Like, you're also working on other things, but he knows he needs to improve. But if you can get a disruptor, or Matt Eberflus calls the three tech the engine of this defense, then I think that will ultimately help out the guys that are here and all the future signings that they're going to make to try to upgrade that position.
Yeah, that's something I talked about a lot last summer because obviously, I work in Jacksonville, too, for the Jaguars flagship, so I was followed along with the Colts quite a bit. And so when the Bears got Eberflus, I was very adamant about, like, I don't think we're going to see huge sack numbers from any one guy. I don't think when you look at their stat sheet, it's going to pop out huge. But usually that's what he was known for, is having that defense that just, like, causes a bit of chaos. And I just, obviously, when your sack leader is your rookie safety, doesn't look like it panned out too well. But when you look at the free agency, there's several names, obviously, like Bears fans are clamoring for because they're the big names. Daron Payne and Orlando Brown and Saquon Barkley. All of those seem like they probably will not happen. But what are some of the more realistic guys that you can see the Bears targeting and it working out?
Yeah, like if we're looking at the offensive line and looking to upgrade there, someone that would fit, and even this player is a little bit polarizing for some Bears fans, depending on who you talk to, Mike McGlinchey, the right tackle from San Francisco 49ers, a guy that will fit perfectly in this wide zone scheme. Did Micah Parsons throw him around a few times in that playoff game? Probably,
yeah.
But he does that
it's
to
Micah
a lot
Parsons.
Of guys.
Yeah.
It's Micah Parsons. Yeah, he's pretty good if you don't know. But I think that would be a nice fit for a right tackle position that right now is up in the air. Riley Reiff was finishing out the season at the position after Larry Borum really couldn't hold it down. So you immediately upgrade the line, and that's going to help out Justin Fields. But that's a guy that I look like could definitely help. When you're looking at, again, going to the defensive line, actually a player that in Jacksonville, Arden Key will be a free agent. And young player at only 26, 6'5", 240. He's probably a little bit smaller than what Eberflus would like at the edge position. But at this point, I want Matt Eberflus, Ryan Poles to kind of take some swings on those younger guys that were showing progress towards the end of last season. So maybe that's a guy that Bears fans or the Bears will keep an eye on. But yeah, the big, obviously Daron Payne would have been, if you draft him as your three tech, if you're the Bears, you somehow get a trade scenario down to four with the Indianapolis Colts. Like, it looks like Anderson would have been your guy, but now it kind of keeps things open for what the Bears can still potentially do with that number one overall pick and the trade scenarios that will definitely come from having it.
Yeah, I really like that Arden Key option, honestly. When the Jags got him last year, I wasn't totally sure what that would look like. But when you use him right, it looks really good. He had 4.5 sacks, but he was honestly like a rotational piece a lot of the time. Wasn't in there 100% of the time. Still got to the quarterback, at least pressuring the quarterback or hurrying the quarterback, whatever phrase you want to use for that. And so I like that. I honestly didn't think of that too much. And considering also that I'm guessing they'll probably either tag Juwan Taylor or Evan Engram, depending what contract talks look like for them, that would definitely be a good option. So I like that. And now that brings us to, we saw that one of the Bears' first cuts with Muhammad. What other names do you see the Bears making cuts with? Do you see any bigger names like that coming out?
Yeah, the main candidate, I think, for the Bears to potentially cut is probably Cody Whitehair. Right now, he's being paid like the eighth best guard in the NFL, and it doesn't take a lot to you know, just watching his play, especially as of late, to know that that's not the case for Cody Whitehair. The Bears will save a significant amount of money if they do so. And, you know, I don't know if that now becomes a position of need of the draft. That's a thing, too. Like, obviously, you can keep Cody Whitehair, and he'll be decent, but you could save a lot financially if you can, you know, go away from him and maybe go to a younger option, maybe looking in free agency, a guy that could potentially work out. He's still got a young player, but Will Hernandez, who played with the Cardinals, more of a Mahler type of guy. But would that potentially work? Who knows? But I think that would be the main candidate. I know a couple my colleagues and I, we actually talked about a couple of other players. But just looking at, if you're just looking strictly at money, if the Bears were to move on from Eddie Jackson, it would be only financially, because he played amazing last season. Kind of resurrected, you know, himself in this new defense. But financially, if you look at it, he is going to be the highest cap hit on the Bears this upcoming season. And, you know, obviously a different regime, but I think ultimately Eddie Jackson will be on this team. But Cody Whitehair would definitely be the name to kind of watch out for as the Bears continue to make moves.
Yeah, I like personally keeping Eddie. I think Eddie's comeback season last year was good, and obviously we talked about how much getting him back to his natural position helped. And in general, I think it's good to kind of have that veteran guy in the young secondary that we have. And you saw how it all like really started to click when they were healthy. And when you're speaking of health, that's a big factor also when you're looking at the offensive line, because I don't even know how many different variations of the offensive line we had last. I mean, 9, 10, 11, I had to be, because I remember at one point we were at 6 or 7. And so I think that's a thing that the Bears need to look at too. I see like every name that pops up as an offensive lineman, Taylor Lewan today, and I'm like, the guy's missed so many games. Like, I just want somebody who's going to be on the football field, because you can't protect Justin if you're not on the football field. So it'll be definitely interesting. Yeah. Which, right? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, Taylor, it was funny because I think maybe it was the last game against the Minnesota Vikings, or second to last game. Yeah, guys like Dieter Eastland, you know, taking snaps for the Bears and just like a regular season game. So it speaks to your point about like the Bears, they just do need people who are going to be available. And that's why it was such a luxury to have Braxton Jones at left tackle.
Yeah.
He didn't miss a single offensive snap all season, and obviously being a rookie last year. So if the Bears like target guys and they're just consistently on the football field, hey, that's also a plus. You're getting an option that you at least know is going to be available on game day.
Yeah, and that's going to be a talking point for Tevin Jenkins, obviously, going forward, too, because the move to right guard was, he played great, and I loved watching him at right guard, but if he can't be out there, there's not much he can do. So when you're taught, you spoke a little bit on wide receiver, so obviously there's the hopefuls. There's the maybe somehow we'll get T. Higgins and a name like that. But obviously you have DeAndre Hopkins. You have a couple of the guys in with Godwin and Evans in Tampa that are possibilities that people are talking about today. A guy like Robert Woods got released. I'm not a huge fan of that, but some people are saying there is some upside in that depending on the contract. But what do you see realistically for a fit when it comes to wide receiver and free agency?
Well, I wrote about recently that DeAndre Hopkins would be a guy that I'm really interested in. And I know, I think the biggest knock on him that comes up immediately is that he's 30 years old and will be 31 in June. He's got still the big contract available, but I talked about earlier, like, getting Justin a number one wide receiver. DeAndre Hopkins is still that. Last year, he only played four games with Kyler Murray and was able to put the stats that he had in, what, seven games or something along those lines. And that still shows me that that's still a player that can, one, produce. Defenses still need to worry about where D-Hop is at. And if the Bears can have an opportunity, even it's not the long-term answer too. Like,
yeah,
that's you know, when I was writing the article I did for All CHGO, it's like, this is not your long-term answer. He's not going to be here for, you know, maybe even this past contract, but does he help Justin Fields in 2023 to be a better passer than he was the previous season? Absolutely. You're not also having to develop a wide receiver. Let's say the Bears do end up trading back and somehow get Jackson Smith and Jigba from Ohio State. Great fit, but still, he needs to learn this game and, you know, do so coincidentally while Justin Fields is trying to elevate his game. Instead, why can't you just go draft, or if possible, get a guy like DeAndre Hopkins? And apparently his no trade clause has been waived due to the PEDs that he took, and that now makes him more available with a new regime coming into Arizona. So if you can get a guy like that, still draft a wide receiver. Now you're letting D-Hop be that number one that Justin Fields could throw to on the outside, see what he can do in the vertical passing game, and also having another guy to still develop during the course of the season. And now you have some weapons with a guy like that, Darnell Mooney coming back, and Chase Claypool, and we'll see how that kind of works out there. And, you know, Cole Kmet as well. So that would be a very enticing name to me. My colleagues and I talked about this a couple shows ago, but, and Bears fans did not like it, but Alan Lazard, brought up the name and everyone was like, no way, Green Bay Packer can't do it. And like, I get it, but he also knows the system that Luke Getsy wants to run. And no, he's not a number one, but does he help round out the wide receiver group? He does. There wasn't many playmakers here in the first place, but yeah, there's not the best names in free agency to kind of address this position, but a guy like T. Higgins somehow becomes available because of cap, you know, the cap situation that the Bengals are going to be in, having to pay Chase and Burrow. Now I'd like those conversations to start beginning.
Yeah, it's the same, because I think it's easy right now for Bengals fans and others to say, well, you know, he'll take less because to stay with Joe Burrow and to stay in Cincinnati. But the moment that a team is like, but we'll give you this much money, that starts to shift things a little bit. And it's always interesting to me to go back and look at the Chase Claypool. And I'm not trying to be like a defender of Chase Claypool, but I feel like he kind of got the short end of the stick when he came here, because when he came, it was just one of those situations where obviously you're learning a playbook. He pretty much had to play like a few games later, so it was limited snaps. And then as soon as maybe you felt like things would get better, like Justin was battling with injury, and then he was battling injury, and then Darnell Mooney gets hurt. So then it was just like nobody to take away from anything. It was just kind of like, all right, Chase Claypool, go do your thing. So I'm really hoping, and that's why to me, the Hopkins idea sounds perfect, because if you have Darnell and Hopkins and Claypool, obviously some young receiver, Equanimeous out there every now and then, guys like that. I don't really know what they're doing with N'Keal Harry, but I think it looks like already an improvement, and that's what you want. And like you said, it's not supposed to be these long-term answers. It's supposed to say, hey, how can we help Justin right now as we start to develop some of these other guys? And maybe when the free agency for wide receivers a little thicker, we'll be able to look more into that. But moving on a little bit, I think most Bears fans and media are kind of on the same page when it comes to the draft day. Trade down, if you can do it twice, that would be amazing. But the Colts, I think, for most people, look like the ideal spot, because you can still get one of those big names in Will Anderson or Jalen Carter. But what is your opinion on that on draft day? What are your hopes?
Yeah, the hopes are that the Bears are not selecting at number one when it comes to draft time, the first night of the draft. I think the best case scenario to help this football team is to acquire as many high-end picks as possible. And, you know, after next week, these quarterbacks, in terms of, like, the attention they get, is going to skyrocket because of the combine. Will Levis is probably going to look amazing in shorts if you know, he's throwing out there. So I think the big priority for Ryan Poles, this Bears coaching staff, is that they come out of day day one with some picks for the number one overall pick, and let's say they do go back to four with Indianapolis, like now you have your choosing of whoever's there with Jalen Carter or Will Anderson. My preference would be Jalen Carter if that ends up being how the draft falls, with two quarterbacks being selected. Arizona can easily take Carter or Anderson as well, and then you have the Bears at four. But I think that would be the best case scenario. And, you know, another intriguing trade back as I'm kind of looking at some of the, you know, the teams that are up there in the top 10, but Las Vegas is an interesting one, having the number seven overall pick. They have a 38th overall pick this season. I don't know if you can baggage that into a deal with next 2024 first rounder. It's like, okay, I can see that being enticing. And I think if the Bears can come away with some of these top edge rushers, like, I'm okay with that. Like, mm-hmm. I know Will Anderson is the top echelon guy, but you have guys like Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech, Miles Murphy, Luke Van Ness from Iowa. There are some capable edge rushers as well that would be an immediate upgrade for Matt Eberflus and Al Williams' defense in 2023. But trading back is definitely going to be key. If the Bears select at number one, I think most people, you're getting an impact player, no doubt, but almost would be like a disappointment.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't mortgage something else out, get somebody to jump up to make this work. But ultimately, I think Ryan Poles will, you know, get a handful for this number one overall pick, especially depending on how far he is willing to trade back.
Yeah, I had to talk myself into it a little bit. The first, like, three podcasts of the year, we did, like, heavily on draft, and we talked to all different draft guys, and the one question I asked them consistently was, like, so worst-case scenario is we get Will Anderson or Jalen Carter at one, right? And that's not a worst case. And they were all like, you're getting a guy worth the number one overall pick. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to tell myself that just in case something doesn't happen. And if the worst case scenario is getting a guy like that, I'm here for it. But I am over all of the trading Justin talk. So the sooner we make that trade, the sooner I'm going to be very happy. One more little last, a couple like quicker hit questions for you of some of the guys and what you think they will be, I guess, a Chicago Bear. David Montgomery, is he going to be on the Bears?
Oh, this is a good, I mean, it's a good question, quick question, but ultimately I think that the Bears can work something out with him. I know that, you know, he's probably going to, if you're David Montgomery, you should look to go get as much money that you can in free agency. That's there's no doubt about that. But I think the Bears and Montgomery can work something out where it's financially smart for him, but it doesn't also break the bank for the Bears. So right now I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Jack Sanborn, is he a starting linebacker this next year?
I think so. He showed a lot of what he's capable of and did that without having a line that was occupying blocks. He showed instincts that, you know, take away his undrafted status, and you wouldn't know that about Jack Sanborn the way he plays. So I think he'll be the starter.
Okay. And what about Sam Mustipher?
Sam Mustipher. You know, he's, it's funny. I don't mean this in a bad way, but he's like a cockroach. You just can't, you can't kill him. He just always comes back. He's always there. But I Sam Mustipher is a depth guy. I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
He just can't be penciled in as a starter week one at center. That's where the issue is. But for somebody that has played the guard position or was doing that early on in the season in training camp, I'm okay with Sam Mustipher being on this roster, just not the starter.
Yeah, it was funny because last year, I remember, I literally think it was for like three snaps and Lucas Patrick was in and I was like, oh gosh, finally somebody else. And then he gets hurt and I was like, oh my God, like you can't write this script. Like Mustipher is just hanging on for dear life. And then a little later we had Olin Kurtz on and he, you know, obviously that's kind of his guy because he trains him and stuff. But I was just like, man, I was like, he's just lingering. But he's one of the guys too where he had the second most snaps on that line. He's able to battle through a lot of things. So it's definitely a good depth piece to have because you know he can come in and rock it if you are dealing with an injury. Well, not rock it. Let's just say hold it down a little bit. But yeah, it'll be a really interesting and it's a very exciting offseason for the Bears, obviously, having this much money, having the first overall pick, and for most people thinking that you have the future quarterback too. You just need to start building around him. So thanks so much for joining me, Nicholas. I really appreciate all the stuff. Like, you guys' content at CHGO is amazing. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Taylor. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Well, thanks to Nicholas. That was really fun. A lot of things I agree with him on, including the David Montgomery situation. I really, really wish that David Montgomery was staying. I saw a graphic the other day, and it was like, here's the top 10 running back free agents that, you know, like that are available right now or that will be available. And it's obviously Tony Pollard and Miles Sanders and Saquon Barkley and David Montgomery. And I'm like, and I think they had David Montgomery at like the fourth or fifth. And I'm like, we have one. Like, we already have a guy who is comfortable in our offense and has already worked with Luke Getsy, has some comfortableness with like how him and Khalil Herbert work, how him and Justin Fields work. We saw him being able to work in the pass game a little bit this offseason. I just personally don't understand why we would massively pay someone like Saquon Barkley to come in here when, number one, we're wanting to adjust a little bit. We're wanting to see some passing game in here. And so to have someone like David Montgomery, who is already comfortable with all of this, that will pay less than Saquon, I don't personally understand it. But obviously that's decisions that the Bears are going to make and what they think is best for the offense as a whole. But there, it's going to be a very interesting the rest of the offseason, because we're going to have to continue to hear these Justin Fields things until that trade is made. But now we're less than a week away from the combine. So now we're really going to be hearing about some of these names. Anthony Richardson. The rumors just came out yesterday that the mock draft from Chris Trapasso came out, and he was saying that the Colts could trade up to number one for Anthony Richardson. And some people were like, that's insane. And some people were like, well, the Colts had new head coach, just came from Philly, and he's worked with Jalen Hurts. He wants a mobile quarterback. He doesn't want a Bryce Young. He wants somebody who's going to be able to move. And Anthony Richardson's an absolute freak of an athlete. Do I think he's worth a number one overall? No. Would I want the Bears to take him number one at all? Heck no. But is someone like the Colts, and who maybe think they see this massive upside of this kid who's fast, he has an incredible arm, he's mobile, he's very, 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 very smart. He tests out of the water when it comes to football knowledge, just IQ in general. So it'll be really interesting, because we're going to start seeing names like that really start rising up or dropping. We'll see, you know, what Will Levis, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young. The one thing I guess we really do have to hope is that one of these guys majorly stand out to the point where multiple teams are like, man, we've got to have this guy, or no, you know, because then that's when the Colts are going to try to get ahead of the Texans. That's when the Panthers, the Raiders, whoever are going to say, oh man, we have to have this guy. We got to get ahead of the Texans. Or the Texans are like, hey, we need to get up. We got to get this guy. And then other teams start panicking when we make that trade. And then another trade happens, long shot, but you never know nowadays. So it's going to be a pretty wild next 3-4 weeks, because it is going to be between the combine and free agency and everything. And it's the first time in a long time that the Bears have had so much to focus on in these things, because they have money, because they have that number one pick that they're trying to trade down from, because they actually have all of their picks. So yeah, it'll be really fun, but That's it for today. Obviously, next week we will probably have a lot more of the combine type stuff and guys to look out for, and or guys that we heard had, you know, whatever they ran in their 40 or whatever they bench pressed or whatever great interview they did. We'll have all of that stuff. So we will catch you next week. I'm Taylor Dahl for Making Monsters.